Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm doing infinitely better than I deserve. Praise God.
Amen to that. And, of course, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed.
Well, praise God. We have a really, really important topic. We actually are going to deal with a question here today. But before I get to that question, we just want to let you guys know that we do have, and Tony's just recently added this to a page on the blessedhopechapel.org website. We have, because the most common question we get, whether it's at our home church, Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, or it's at goodfight.org, the most common question is, I live in XYZ and I don't have a church to go to. Do you guys have a live stream service? Do you guys have anybody out here that you know? And there's a few pastors that we have relationships with, but we're really careful about just sending you guys off to somewhere because sometimes there's some really funky stuff getting taught out there. So we want to make sure that we can try to feed you guys any way we can. And we have an awesome live stream service that we do. We have on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. You guys are getting live feeds from our church, home church, and some wonderful messages, getting to worship on Sundays. And we have a number of groups that are already meeting in Idaho, in Texas, in New York. We also have a fellowship down in Mexico, in Ensenada, that we established there with Pastor Jonathan Ball. So we have a ton of different places, but what we've added, because of so many people asking about the live feed, what we've added on our live stream page, and I'll have Tony add the link to this podcast show. At the bottom, we have a contact form that you can fill out whether you want to host one of your own or you are trying to find one in your area that you would like to attend. This just recent message, I saw someone saying, hey, I'm in Long Island, and I know Mary Von Eif found her on there and said, hey, I'll contact you right now and we'll help you and set you up. So guys, please, you know, we have some great ways for the body of believers to connect, and we want to try to do that any way we can. So with that in mind, we had somebody from our home fellowship actually ask a question, a very, very important question, especially with news that's going, that's been happening. And basically what she asks is, with the recent public recantation of faith by author Joshua Harris and Hillsong's Marty Sampson, do we believe that this is the Lord telling us that we are in the great apostasy, Joe? So what do you think?
Meaning yes, we are. But yeah, let's answer that question. Let's look at that biblically. I try to let people know there's a distinction between what we call the great apostasy and general apostasy. And when I speak of general apostasy, I don't just mean apostasy that happens throughout the church age, although that falls under the banner of general apostasy. But I do believe that there'll be general apostasy that we ramped up in the end times prior to the great apostasy. And I do believe there's a distinction. When I think of the great apostasy, I think of the great falling away that takes place during the revelation of Antichrist. And that's going to be huge. And there are specific scriptures that talk about falling away and apostasy in a general sense. And there are other scriptures that speak specifically about this huge apostasy that will take place in the end times owing to persecution and mass deception. And we see that in Matthew chapter 24. Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the book Revelation, and various other passages, the book of Daniel, where you see a fallen away. And this is basically being ramped up by the apostasy that is general. So when I see these guys that just fell, Joshua Harris, who, you know, recanted his faith publicly and divorced his wife, and a week or two later was at a gay pride parade. And then Samson, who recanted his faith publicly and then recanted his recantation, yeah, saying he's not totally fallen away yet or something like that. And I mean, pray for both those guys. The Lord died for them. The way they rolled it out was really heartbreaking because they did it in such a way with Samson's initial rollout and then Harris's just before him. They rolled out in kind of a very almost arrogant way, like kind of flaunting their fallen away state without any shame, as though they were attracting others. And that really, just to be honest, it ticked me off. It gave me oh Lord God, how many people are they trying to seduce? And is that their motive? I don't know, but the way they rolled it out was really sad. Anyway, there's general apostasy and there's the great apostasy. And let's first talk about the great apostasy. We know in Scripture that the Bible warns that there will be a great falling away. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that the love of the majority would grow cold. He said that in the context of lawlessness increasing and nation against nation and so forth, which in the Greek is ethnos, meaning against ethnos, ethnic group against ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing more of that with the racial tensions going on right now. Lawlessness would increase. We see crime. And there's some things I don't even call crime anymore. So there's a lot less crime today right now in 2019 than there was in, 20 years ago in one regard, because a lot of these things aren't considered crimes anymore. You have the decriminalization of marijuana in many states. You have the decriminalization of certain sexual behaviors and so forth. So a lot of things aren't even called crime anymore, but we have an escalation of immorality. The things that shocked people years ago, Alice Cooper with his act, which was just gory and everything, he says, doesn't shock people anymore, And then after that, you have Ozzy Osbourne biting off the head of a bat, and now that doesn't shock anybody anymore. And criminals from the 1950s, if they were projected in the future and could see what people are doing that is just normal today, would be shocked. They'd be like, what in the world? Things have changed a lot. But that's more of the general apostasy. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talked about a time when lawlessness would increase and the love of many would grow cold. In the Greek, it's the love of the most or the majority would grow cold. And that's important. Also, Jesus talked about how they'll hand you over to be killed. You'll be hated by all nations because of my name. And we see in the scriptures at that point, Jesus says, that time, he says, many, many will fall away. So that's great apostasy in light of the coming Antichrist. And why I believe that is, those are birth pains that lead up to the Antichrist, we could say. But I do believe there's a recapitulation in Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about the birth pains, and wars, rumors of wars and so forth. Then he talks about the Antichrist in the temple, and he talks about, you'll see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. At that point, he says, flee to the mountains. That's for those who are in Judea and so forth. And there'll be this incredible time of vengeance against the believer, of anger and hatred and persecution. And I believe when he's talking about many falling away, he then recapitulates what that will look like in more detail, because the man of sin will be revealed. And we also see four times, at least in Matthew 24 alone, he warns about spiritual deception. And he warns believers. He tells Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Matthew 24. We know it's those four because in Mark 13, it gives us their names. Same discourse. And we read in Matthew 24 that he tells them, the very first thing he warns them about is see that no one misleads you or deceives you. He repeats, he warns of various deceptions three other times after that. So believers are warned not to fall away because of persecution and because of spiritual deception. Chad, you just texted me an article the other day an article that stated that, persecution of Christians, persecution of the Christian faith by far, Christians are being, or that was from Tony actually, is, and I did some studies on that just recently, and I think Tony realized that, and he just texted me that Christians are persecuted by far more than any other faith. That's being ramped up, and that will be at its height during the revelation of Antichrist. But spiritual deception, I was just talking to some brothers and sisters after Wednesday night's Bible study, and they were just shaking their head about how two people that were visiting me from Orange County, and one of them had just become a Christian. He was a member of the Crowley's OTO and what have you, and he was excited to meet, and we had a great time with him too, a great fellowship time. Just didn't even know he was coming. They were talking about how many people they're ministering to, and people in their store that are involved in the New Age movement but claim to be Christians, and all the spiritual deception that's going around. And that's all over the place today. So Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, showing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible, even the very elect. And then the very next verse is very important. He says, behold, I've warned you in advance. And he's telling us ahead of time that this would happen. So
you think
have
that
the great...
ties in? You think that ties in with Matthew 24:5, where he says many will come and say, I am the Christ?
Absolutely, because he starts off by warning them of spiritual deception. Then he warns them about, later he'll warn them about secret comings of Christ, you know, and so forth. And there he warns about false signs and wonders, deceiving, if possible, even the elect. And the if there is in the subjunctive, and the context bears out the meaning there. And the context is he's concerned about them being deceived, you know. Mm-hmm. He's talking to his four elect apostles there, you know. And he says, I've told you in advance. So we also see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warns of this specific great apostasy. When he says concerning Christ's coming and our being gathered together to him, i.e. the rapture, he says, you know, don't be deceived by word or spirit or letters from us, for that day is, as though that day is at hand or has come, depending on the translation. I believe the best translation would be has come to be at hand, personally. And he says, for that day, the rapture will not come until what happens first? The apostasia. Oh, yeah. Which that word's only used one other time in the New Testament, and it's used of falling away, or the idea of falling away in the book of Acts. And that's where we get our word apostasy from. He says it won't happen until the King James translates that fallen away, by the way. I think the NIV and the NASB translate it rebellion, you know. So there will be a rebellion. There'll be a falling away. And it'll happen in context with the revelation of Antichrist. So that's the great apostasy. And I'll catch a breath here because I want you guys to join in. And also there's verses, passages that talk about the general apostasy. We aren't in the great apostasy because the Antichrist hasn't yet been revealed in the temple, but we are in general apostasy that is getting greater and greater by the moment.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, especially you went to the 2 Thessalonians text. When I think of the great apostasy, I think about that, and I always accompany that with Matthew 24. And one thing that happens that we just did an episode while you were gone on Christian apathy when it comes to apostasy, because the love of many will grow cold because what? Lawlessness increases, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting when you put 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2 together, that the fact that when will our Redeemer bring vengeance? You know, when will we who are being, and at that time, them 100% being persecuted, and he's like, when will we get this, you know, when will this happen where you're going to come and you're going to slay them and bring vengeance on these wicked people?
Yeah.
And then right after that in 2 Thessalonians 2, the apostasy must come first, Antichrist is revealed before we are taken to be with him. So I think that's really interesting when we look at all that. And I wanted to just do a little compare and contrast when it comes to Joshua Harris and Marty Sampson, because both of their quote-unquote testimonies, you can have a bad testimony or a good testimony, right?
So for the clarification, just for the people that don't who know who these guys are out there, Marty Sampson is a Hillsong songwriter, singer, and Joshua Harris wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and he was very popular years ago for encouraging chaste relationships before marriage and so forth.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I wanted to do, was compare the two, because Joshua Harris has, it seems to be, a pattern that has been happening. I mean, we've spoken about this ad nauseum in other shows. We've written an article on our website, Why Apostasy Hurts, specifically speaking to the Joshua Harris story and the sadness that looking back at it and seeing what could happen with his family and his ex-congregants and those who maybe read his book. And it's really a sad thing. And then he immediately, boom, I'm going to flaunt my sin now. So now I feel free. I can go and do my wicked deeds. And then next thing you know, I'm going to post pictures of me with rainbow colored donuts and jumping around at gay pride parades. So he kind of seems to be like, okay, now I'm done. I can go do my freedom.
Flaunting his apostasy, yeah.
Flaunting. And where it was really interesting, because I thought the flaunting of Marty Sampson came kind of in his first post that he deleted. So I wanted to read from that. And then before I read from it, I also wanted to give a little context, because since then, he's kind of, as Joe mentioned earlier, recanted his recantation, right? And he also posted once again on Instagram, but then I just went to his Instagram and deleted this one too. So I don't know what's going on there, but he posted a picture of William Lane Craig, another one of John Lennox, Ravi Zacharias, Michael Icona, and Frank Turek. And if you guys know anything, that they're very big in the apologetic field. And he said, quote, I don't know these men personally, but I do watch them regularly and listen to their arguments. If you don't know who they are, perhaps you may want to find out more about them. Which I found really interesting with accompanying his recantation statement, okay? His statement of apostasy. Because one seems so contrary to the other, because this is what he said. He said, "Time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. I'm so happy now. So at peace with the world. It's crazy. This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it." Oh, that's weird. They're having a whole show on it. This is our third one in the last 2 weeks. But anyways, how many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe?
No, we talk about all these issues, by the way.
Yeah, all the time.
Exactly. These are literally the topics of most of our...
No, keep in mind, he's going to Hillsong. I mean,
Yeah, that's what we'll get into, exactly. Yeah. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people. But it's not for me. I'm not in anymore. I want genuine truth, not the I just believe it kind of truth. Science keeps piercing the truth of every religion. Lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God. God's so much more to say, but for me, I keep in it real. Unfollow if you want. I've never been about living my life for others. All I know is what's true to me right now, and Christianity just seems to me like another religion at this point. I could go on, but I won't. Love and forget, absolutely. Be kind, blah, 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 blah. Nonetheless, when I look at this, and this is from a perspective of someone in the church, I've been in the church now for 11 years, at our church specifically. One thing, as Joe mentioned, these are things that are not just dealt with here at our fellowship, at Good Fight Ministries, on podcast shows. This is what we're dealing with on Sundays, okay? And this is why it is important that you dig in the scripture and you understand some of the false teachings that go on. That's one of your jobs, literally, Titus 1:9, right? You need to preach true doctrine and refute those who do not. So you need to make sure that your doctrine is according to scripture. So all of these things that he listed that nobody talks about, preachers falling. What do you mean you don't talk about preachers falling? It's like all over the news. I think that's not even true, first of all. Second of all, we all talk about it, okay? And we warn, them falling should still have nothing to do with your faith whatsoever. A man falling, the Bible's very, very clear in Jeremiah 17, that cursed is he who puts his trust in men. If you place your trust in men and your faith is in a man, no matter who it is, if your faith is in your pastor, guess what? He's going to fail you because he's not perfect. Jesus is, and so is his word. Okay? No one talks about it. Miracles don't happen. No one talks about it. The Bible's full of contradiction. No one talks about it. What I have a problem with personally is that these things seem to be a lot of questions that happen. And where is the pastor? Why is he out leading worship to hundreds of thousands of people? And where is the pastor that he's going to and saying, hey, I'm struggling with this? Because at least your pastor should talk about it, okay? At least somebody should be talking to this guy and being like, well, hey, here's what the scriptures actually teach. Here's what the Bible actually teaches. And Joe, maybe give, I'd like some practical knowledge as someone who is a pastor, who has led congregation, who has dealt with doubts. What would you just say to someone who came up to you? First of all, I think I have an idea somewhat on a number of these, but what would you say if somebody came up to you and said, I'm having doubts in these areas, I need some help?
Yeah, well, it depends. If they're doubting, if they're seeing a professed man of God falling, you know, we just, if you're in the scripture, you see that's already, you know, you could read about Judas. You could read about a lot of people. Demas had forsaken Timothy. You would know the script, or Paul, I should say, in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, you'd also see that scriptures warn about apostasy, so it wouldn't shock you, you know? You might ask a question, is this the great apostasy, which someone in our congregation did because they're familiar that there's apostasy, and there's a great apostasy. So I try to keep the congregation just in the Word, not just on Sundays and Wednesday nights, but encourage everybody to read all the time, meditate, memorize scripture. So when these things happen, the people in the fellowship are already, you know, looking at them through the prism of God's Word, His truth. But if they ask me a specific question, how does this verse, you know, jive with this verse, you know, then I love that. I love that because, you know, you have people in our congregation who've actually grown stronger. And I think all of us have. When you see something that you don't doesn't really make sense, the more you dive into God's Word, amen, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows you. You see how it connects. You see how the symmetry in Scripture gives you more of an appreciation for the Word of God. So I like those kinds of challenges because actually people grow in the faith because of them. So depending on the question, but you just speak the truth in love. You know, you love people. You teach the word. You preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You get concerned about people who are falling, but you also want to be careful and make sure, because the scriptures talk about how somebody who is an apostate talks about when you retrieve them from the fire, in the book of Jude, they have to make sure that your garments, which are oftentimes a picture of, you know, our salvation, who we are, can become tainted and infected. And it talks also about in Galatians, when you restore someone, that you need to be careful that you are also not tempted, it says. So we also have to regard apostates as very dangerous in regard to, they want to justify their apostasy often. When Job was struggling through his incredible trial, toward the end, he never did curse God, but he began to really question the Lord at a certain point. And the Lord says, will you condemn me to justify yourself, when he confronts him? And I found out when people become apostate, they try to justify their position, and they begin to attack God as though he has some kind of failure to protect themselves. And it's a nasty dynamic, and it's very heartbreaking. And in doing so, the enemy can use them, because it says, see to it that no root of bitterness spring up in you that can defile many. Amen. That's in the context of Esau, and it specifically talks about failing the grace of God. And he gives that as an example, how we're under God's discipline, and it's loving discipline, that we need to run the race. Paul, or the author of Hebrews, says, people argue about who the author is. I know who it is. It's God, for sure.
Yeah, you
know?
I'm into that.
But in that context, he tells the person under God's discipline that he disciplines you because you're a child, but he warns him that as the Father of spirits, he disciplines you, and he tells us, unless we become partakers of his holiness, we won't see the Lord. And he disciplines us so we become partakers of his holiness, so we can commit apostasy. Then he warns against it, and he warns about a root of bitterness springing up. So on a very practical level, Chad, I'm very concerned when there's an apostate that they can affect and infect others. So on one hand, you reach out to them, you love them, you pray for them. I encourage the body too. It's not the job of just pastors. As a body, mm-hmm. we're all called ministers of reconciliation. That means we witness the lost, but we also strengthen the fallen believer. We don't want to shoot the wounded, though. We want to love them and try to bring them back. But we also want to call attention, especially when they're stating things. And this guy's actually making, I'm talking about Samson here, he's making some very, very strong statements against Scripture, against the God of the Bible, when you just read what he's saying there. So that needs to be countered. Then he came back, and I'm happy to see that he came back and made some statements that, hey, he's looking at these guys, but I'm also watching him. I'm a bit weary. I was really shocked by the lead singer, John Cooper of Skillet.
Yeah, me too.
And some of the things that he stated, because we're not the biggest fans of, and I don't know him enough to, and I don't know his music. I don't even know if I've heard any of their songs, to be honest with you. But I do know this, that what I read, so we're not endorsing him, and I do know that in one of our shows, we talked about him being one of the guys who didn't want to be called a Christian band and stuff, which we have a hard time with that position, you know? So, but at the same time, I was, hey, man, praise God. Listen to what he stated. And I don't have time to read all what he said, but this is what he did when he called out Samson after Samson's first, you know, declaration. And it was also after in the aftermath of, you know, Joshua Harris and all that stuff that was going on. And I'm not going to quote everything, but this was pretty interesting. And it kind of gave me a little hope, you know? I was like, because, you know, we see this, you know, all the time where people are elevated and put on a pedestal and they drag a lot of people down with them. And he talks about how we need to value truth over feeling, truth over emotion. And what we are seeing now as a result of the church raising up influencers who did not supremely value truth, who have led a generation who also do not believe in the supremacy of truth. It's because we're in postmodernism, you know, and so forth, and relativism. And how those disavowed leaders are proudly still leading and influencing boldly away from the truth. I thought that was interesting. And then a little bit more of what he said here. He said, my conclusion for the church, all of us Christians, he says, we must stop, he says, making worship leaders and thought leaders or influencers or cool people or relevant people the most influential people in Christendom. And yes, that includes people like me. He goes on to state, I've been saying for 20 years, and seemed in quotations, or I should say in a parenthetical statement, quite judgmental to some of my peers, that we are in a dangerous place when the church is looking at 20-year-old worship singers as our source of truth. Took Tony a long time to become the producer of the show. He's a great worship leader, but he loves truth too. He goes on to write, we now have a church culture that learns who God is from singing modern praise songs rather than, and they're very empty. We did a whole show on a lot of the modern worship that goes on, or two shows on that, rather than from the teachings of the word. I'm not being rude. to my worship leader friends, many of whom would agree with me, in saying the singers and musicians are good at communicating emotion and feeling. We create a moment and a vehicle to for God to speak. However, singers are not always the best people to write solid Bible truth and doctrine. Sometimes we are too young, too ignorant of Scripture, too unaware, or too unconcerned about the purity of Scripture and the holiness of God we are singing to. He goes, the God we are singing to. He goes, have you ever considered the disrespect of singing songs to God that are untrue of His character? And he goes on and on. He says a lot of other good things. But when I heard that, and I should say read that, and a friend of mine actually, you guys know Josh, he was like dumbfounded. He goes, did you see this? He read me one of those quotes, and I dug up and said, I want to see more what this guy said. And I was like, you know, and the irony here is he's a musician, you know, but he's a musician saying, hey, we need to adhere to God's word, you know, and how he's applying it to his life. And so forth, you know, and I'm not endorsing this guy. I don't know much about him, but this is in the news, you know. This is in Christian news. And
this is something else that he said that was in a interview on CBN, which I thought was really powerful that he even said this, which is totally true. But he said it should be that the church is influencing the culture, but nowadays the culture is now infiltrating the church and influencing the church, and it's all backwards.
Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, this guy is writing songs that people are lifting their hands to, they're praising God to, and when you see... Marty Sampson, this guy's fallen away, who Cooper calls an influencer, is writing these songs, but then you can see, where is he at when he's writing these songs? Because he seems to talk about God as though in an abstract way, you know? And not a very personal way. So is he trying to find a niche, saying, okay, now I'm writing songs with Hillsong, I need to make this real personal, real emotional? And is he thinking about a girl instead? Because when he writes, when I read what he writes, I'm like, does this guy, you know, and we're not Calvinists. We don't believe if you fall away, you never knew the Lord. Because in some cases, people, they don't fall away from God if they never knew the Lord. They fall away from church, okay? The Bible says you can fall away from the living God in Hebrews chapter 3, too, a relationship with him, and in Romans chapter, or in Galatians 1, 6, and other places. But when I read that, I'm like, did this guy ever know the Lord? Because he's writing in such an abstract way about God. Or did he just get cold through the years, and maybe he had left his first love and his heart had become hardened, as the Bible says the deceitfulness of sin will do. So I don't know. We do know that though there is general apostasy. We talked a lot about the specific apostasy that's coming up, and we need to be aware that that's happening. We need to watch out for spiritual deception. We need to watch out for influential people in the body of Christ, because this kind of ties to, in the practical way, the whole idea of not making sure we don't become apostates. We need to take heed, as Paul said. Don't think, yeah, you know, I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because some people could be in danger of falling away. Be careful. Peter said, hey, even though they all fall away, Jesus, I'm never going to fall away. And he fell hard, you know. And Paul said, the apostle Paul said, in chapter 9 and chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, he said in chapter 9, I beat my body down so that after I preach the gospel to others, I myself would not become rejected, reprobate, adokamos in the Greek. And it's a horrible word that's used over and over again for non-believers. Then he says, right in the very next chapter 10, I believe verse 11, he says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's imperative that we keep our eyes on Jesus and that we don't allow our hearts to become hardened by sin, that we don't become cowardly when we're persecuted, and that we're not deceived by false teaching. Stick to Jesus.
Amen, guys. And just remember, guys, whether we're in the great apostasy or not, or if it's right around the corner, what you need to do is cling to Jesus and trust him and his word. God bless.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.